This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 307 pounds. He's trying, folks. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's Gabrus. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, from A Star Is Born, abortion is healthcare. Okay, that is more topical than you as a reference. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur is snoring in the living room. He's no longer allowed in the studio because he is audible on podcasts. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, first time guest, pop to talk to him. We got it from the Through Podcast. We got Cody Hoffmacher.
Oh, man. Hello.
Hello,
sir. It's amazing to watch a master of their craft at work. I just felt like that was a spiritual experience.
You can't grow up watching pro wrestling and listening to Shock Jocks and not insert that into your career.
Yeah, Shock Jock was my first thought. I had some pro wrestling in there too. So
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Pro wrestling in the streets, Shock Jock in the sheets, if you will. Cody, I'm so stoked to have you on the podcast, and you are, for the listeners, a total stranger to me. But I'm still so amped. I got, you know, your publicity team reached out to me, told me about your most recent project, and it got me super amped. So we'll do official plugs at the end, but do you want to just tell my listeners like what Through is and what the physical part is and what the show is real quick? Because it's going to be have a lot to do with the topic at hand.
Sure. I guess Through is the reason I have a publicity team, which is weird to say, but it's my podcast I made about my through hike of the Pacific Crest Trail. So the Pacific Crest Trail goes from Mexico to Canada through California, Oregon, and Washington. It's 2,650 miles. And every year, hundreds of people start from Mexico with their dreams set on Canada, and they walk the whole thing. And I spent 5 months hiking it last year, 2022.
Jesus Christ. That is... So I'm sure I have some listeners in LA who are like, I hike 3 days a week. Yeah, we go to Runyon, get, you know, hit the vape and do like a 2.5 mile loop. But Cody, that is 5 months of hiking.
5 months of hiking. Five months of hiking. You know, a lot of playing around too. Like, you know, you go into town, you take days off, you meet a lot of people. But yeah, for like 90% of it is just walking with a backpack every single day.
Dude, this intrigues me so much. So listeners of the podcast know this, but Cody might not, so I'll catch you up. In my, like, since the pandemic, a kid who grew up, like, I was a beach bum my whole life and, like, a suburbs kid. Being on Long Island, we don't have a lot of, like, nature besides the beach. But coming to L.A., Southern California, I found, and I went camping for the first time as, like, a 38-year-old man. And now I've been camping a few times. I own a tent. I own a big backpack with the fucking Camelback built in. And I've turned into a little bit of, like, an outdoorsy type. So and backpacking really intrigues me. A good friend of mine, Vincent, who's probably listening because I told him about this episode, is a backpacker, and like I'm not fully on that level yet, but I love talking to him about like what gear and what food he's bringing and shit on his, like, he goes on like a few, like 4-day, 5-day state park adventures and shit. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't even imagine what packing on the what the long haul of that is. Like, that's like a gearhead's like freak out. 5 months, it's like, what Arc'teryx jacket will last 5 months?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and be not carry smell and not be heavy and not and be versatile weather-wise. I'm so curious. So talk to me a little bit about what you pack for a 5 month event, or how you prep in general. I'm sure you had to fucking, excuse me, I curse a lot, but sure, you had to do some physical training and you know, a lot of like time on your feet before you kick this off too.
Yeah, man, I was a lot like you. I was late to the camping game, and I camped for the first, I don't know, I was like 25, but I didn't camp as a kid or anything. And actually the idea to hike the trail came about because I was heading out to a meditation retreat in California, and I started to research camping gear. And I found like these like subreddits and like this corner of the internet that was ultralight backpacking. And it's like gear nerds and people that are super into what you were saying, like getting the lightest gear, getting like the best quality gear. And like, I didn't need that kind of stuff, but it's just like a very like nerdy, dorky, passionate part of the internet. And then I saw these people that did these wild 5-month hikes on these long trails. And so I started to research a lot of that gear and eventually got the idea to hike the trail. And once I knew I was going to do it, I really, they say like, you can't really prepare, like let go of your right. planning because you're going to get out there and everything's going to change. But I didn't listen to that. Like I had spreadsheets and like you go to like the surveys of people that have hiked the trail before. You find what backpacks they're using. Everything is $200-$300, like is an expensive hobby. You find what stuff weighs. There's like software where you can put like your prospective weight of your pack and all your shit in. And like you dial it in to what you think works for you. You know, oh, I like this backpack. You know, there's like, you know, 5 to 10 popular lightweight backpacks to choose from. And like everybody uses this jacket, so I'm gonna get this one. And you know, do I take rain pants? I decided no. And so it's like this combination of like weight and comfort. And so, in terms of like physical preparation, so I, before I hiked, lived in San Antonio, Texas with my parents. I had like moved back home, this whole like life change situation. San Antonio is like maybe flat? The flattest, yeah, flattest, most, we lived by a hill within walking distance that was like the highest place in the county. And I think it was like 800 feet in elevation or something like that. And it went 1 mile around. So truly, like I started to hike 10, 11, 12 miles in a circle around that hill. And then eventually I got all my gear and started to like, what would it be like to hike 20 miles? So I just fucking, like I walked as much as I could all the time. And then when I got out there, I found out it was true. Like you can only plan so much because like it all went out the window. And
now yeah. what's your background before this when you said like crazy life change moment? Like what were you doing before this or
so,
before that?
Yeah. So like I was in Dallas, Texas. That's where I lived most of my adult life. So about age 18 to 27, I was in Dallas and I was involved in the comedy scene there, Dallas Comedy House, improv, sketch, got like deeply embedded, you know, in the scene, performing, writing, teaching, coaching, bartending. And
they go hand in hand. That sounds like my 20s.
I was there, you know, 7 days a week. I think my record was like 63 days straight in the club without a break, like something like that. So when the pandemic hit, I was engaged to a girl I'd met at the comedy club. We'd been together 5 years. And sometime during the engagement, I started recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. So late 2020, started recovery. A few months after recovery, relationship fell apart. We broke up. I had to leave and I like got on the highway and called my mom, moved back to San Antonio. And like, that's it. Like my old life in Dallas was just gone. Like relationship, you know, the comedy club had closed down, like my like house and my pets and my fiance were there, but I basically never saw them again. But I continued recovery, getting sober, and just sort of had a fresh start. So
hell yeah, congrats on I'm sorry there's it. A lot of stuff to say I'm sorry for in that phrase, but also congrats on sobriety. That shit's not easy, and it's fucking worth it.
Absolutely, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like, not like researching and doing a 5-month hike seems like a real sober guy, like newly sober guy project.
Oh, man.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, man. My like my mentor, he said the actual words to me, it's a very first year sober thing to do. And it totally is. It's totally like a quarter life crisis, first yep. year sober, all responsibilities gone. I will own that every single day of the week.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so rad. But why hiking? Why nature? Why test yourself there? There's a lot of quarter life crises that you can go into. You can become like a triathlete guy. You can do CrossFit. You can like do steroids, like a lot of physical things you can undertake. A lot of like, I'm going to write a book. What made you choose like nature, backpacking, hiking, or whatever?
Yeah, the esoteric, like, gut level answer is like, this is the idea that wanted to happen and it got made, right? Like, right. This is the thing that was asking. It was, I don't know. Like, I don't know how the fuck I ended up there. I think, like, if I analyzed it, it would be that I kind of gone on like a, like, any type of recovery, like, a big part of my recovery and a big part of, like, getting healthier was long walks. So I always got a lot out of walking. And like I said, I had tried camping late into my 20s and really, really liked it. And so, yeah, I was just happy when I was out in the mountains.
Right. I mean, nature, fuck, like, you don't have to tell me once you try it why it's so, because exactly. I totally get it. And it does feel like a good pendulum. As someone who has countless experience with substances and comedy communities, it does feel like a real swing in the other direction after seven late nights a week for, 6 years of drinking, partying, not, you know, sleeping in, not getting the right amount of exercise, not getting the right amount of sun time, not, you know, living in a city, even just like letting that fucking beat you down. And so it feels like a natural, crazy pendulum swing, but in a, I don't mean crazy in a pejorative way. I mean, just like a wild, let's say wild pendulum swing where you're like, fuck it, let's get out into the, but to keep going along this path, like, there must be some facets of your personality that this activated, because your idea of going to like the subreddit, and you even said like spreadsheet and shit. So that seems like you have a little bit of like that built into you a little bit, and you harness that for the project, which I think is like, you know, finding what you, because I want to do something like this. And what I'm like, my skill set is what? I don't have one. Maybe that I could do my job on the road. Like if I wanted to carry a podcast, well, you carry podcast equipment.
Yeah,
in your gear,
right? I worked while I was out there. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I want to hear more about, and I'm going to listen to all of through, but I want to hear more about what that's like being out there. Like, once you have your gear selected, are you bringing are you carrying a tent and sleeping in parks and shit when you can, or sleeping in nature when you can?
Yeah, so you pack like an ultralight tent. I started with a one-person tent. I got a little bit, like, I went to the two-person model because it's just bigger and didn't weigh much more. But you carry a tent, you carry like your sleeping system. Yeah, everybody thinks in systems.
I love this. Tent. See, this is the kind of fucking jargon. I love jargon, man. As longtime improviser, you love the vocab and
all
the
right,
jargon.
Cool. I'll jargon it up.
Please.
So my sleep system consisted of my foam sleeping pads, Nemo, switchback is what it's called. So it folds up like an accordion. So it's a foam sleeping pad. Many people go inflatable. I went foam for the convenience and the extra pack room and the weight saving. And I had a sleeping quilt, which is like a sleeping bag that doesn't zip up. So you just wrap it around the pad. So it's lighter and it's more packable. So I went with a 20-degree Therm-a-Rest sleeping quilt.
And now, for listeners, 20-degree means that it's rated up to 20 degrees nights. Like, it'll keep you warm in 20-degree nights, which is pretty fucking cold.
Yeah, it says, like, comfort, 32 degrees. Like
survival, 20.
Yeah, 20 degrees, whatever. I mean, you also wear, like, all your, like, gear and stuff. And then I had, like, a little inflatable pillow, and that was essentially the sleeping gear. And then I had my tent. I had my jacket, you know, I wore the same shirt the whole time, pretty much. So you don't change clothes. You smell like shit, like, constantly. I had a rain jacket. I had some, my trekking poles, my water filter, a couple water bottles, food bag, electronics, stuff to record, minimal, like, recording gear, a battery pack to charge my electronics. And that's, you know, and a shovel for digging holes to take a dump in.
Yeah. And a shovel, like, for pooping is a great,
yeah, a,
like,
shovel for,
that's
pooping.
a real shift from you know, living in a major metropolitan area and having a house and
there's
shit.
There's no better way to really connect to our ancestors into nature than to take your first in the ground shit in a hole.
I had to do that for the first time on a camping trip. I've done it as a few times in emergencies as a kid, younger man, and at the and in the ocean as a young beach bum. But I was camping in a BLM land, and there it didn't have, like, my first campsite that didn't have built-in, like, facilities. So I
liberating.
Was like, Yeah. Pretty liberating. Like, the only question was, we were in a super flat desert area and it was the morning. So there was like almost no direction I could go in that the two guys I was camping with just couldn't look and see. Like, I was like, I'm going to head west. Can you guys just set your chairs up that way so you're not looking directly at my pale white ass as I unload?
Yeah, it's freeing in a different kind of way.
Did you do like food drops along the way, or like ship yourself shit, or did you do like, all right, well, at this next town I'll buy some fucking tuna cans or whatever?
You essentially hike from town to town, and you know like how far you have to go between towns. So some days you're packing out 3 days worth of food, some days you're packing out 6 days worth of food.
Because people who've done the trail before are like, your best bet is to go from this little town in Mexico to here, to here, to here, to here.
Yeah,
to here,
that's here. That's yeah. The cool thing about it is there's so many people who have already done it. There's a whole ecosystem. There's a whole culture. There's an app where people leave comments. Hey, this restaurant in this town is rude. Like seriously, to that level of detail. Or like, go here, this gear store is great, whatever. Like, so
these guys will let you shower at their blah, blah, blah. These guys, absolutely. Will, yeah. These guys, right. Don't knock on the door if you've been dumping in their diner bathroom
exactly.
For 30 minutes.
Watch out for the creepy dude in the white van who says he gives rides. Like, he's real weird. Like, all of that stuff. So food supply, you go into town, you go to the grocery store. There are a couple places where it makes sense to mail a box. I think I mailed maybe a box or two the whole time. And you can really do it without, but... Yeah, you're eating like ramen and instant mashed potatoes and Clif Bars and honey buns and Pop-Tarts. And if you're feeling fancy, like, you give yourself a night or two of like one of those $13 dehydrated backpacker meals. But yeah, it's the hiker trash diet.
Yeah, you're just on like calorie fuel, like calorie in, calorie out fuel.
Gummy worms, man. It's just like, yeah.
And it's got to be light. Like, this, it's got to be light. It can't make you have to poop too much, because you can't, like, you don't want to be dealing with that as frequent. You don't want to keep having to get the shovel out, as the kids say. But, and it needs to be light, and it needs to give you, like, I always see shit like that on, like, the forums, or, like, when you're, like, in deep looking up camping stuff. It's like, 640 calories for only 3 ounces of, you know what I mean? It's like, and yeah. I'm like, peanut butter and jelly oatmeal bag or whatever. And you're like, okay, sounds disgusting. But if you're saying calories per pound, let's do it. You know, I'm like, okay, hard to argue.
Man, I will say too, like, a lot of it does sound disgusting. And as someone who has enjoyed like every type of munchies that there is on the planet, there's nothing like hiker hunger. It's like the best munchies you've ever had. Just like hiking 20 miles and then being hungry at the end of the day. Like, you cannot stop eating. It's actually kind of insane. Yeah.
Camping, eating, or like after, like whenever I go camping, there involves some hike or some sort of physical thing of like swimming or frisbee or some shit. But like eating, you feel such an insane hunger. You feel so deserving of it.
Yeah,
like, because you're so used, like, it feels so much different than when the Postmates guy leaves like fucking, Wendy's outside your door. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, I'm a pig. But when you're at like a campfire, you're cooking corn on the cob on a campfire, or jamming down a huge bag of almonds and raisins after you've walked 6 miles, you feel like no one is allowed to tell me. And as someone who's battled with food and weight his whole life, like, the idea that it's like, this is just unlicensed. No one can say shit. You've earned this. There's something powerful about that too.
Yeah, I was the same, man. Like, absolutely. And like, man, one of my favorite experiences was just like, it's town day and you've got to hike like 16, 17 miles, and you get to town and you buy like one Sprite for chugging and one to take back to the hotel room or the hostel or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just freaking slam a 32-ounce Sprite or whatever you can get.
So, that's awesome. I'm a big subcultures guy, so I love the idea of like these subcultures, and I've dabbled in a bunch of them over the course of my life. But question, these towns that know that people who are doing the Pacific Crest Trail are going to pop in, you said hostel, because you're not going to imagine that there's a lot of hostels in Southern California or Northern California, but if they're catering to this specific, what's the vibes like when you get, is there like, everyone's like, you got to pack, spend a few days at in this St. Luis Obispo fucking hiking town. Like, is there a town that everyone's like, post up here for a little bit, there's a bar, you know, like, it's a good scene, a lot of people come through or whatever. Is there shit like that? I love that dirtbag hippie lifestyle stuff. So yeah.
That's just such an intuitive and badass question because you could go on and on about that, but like there is, as much as the Pacific Crest Trail is a tour of nature and an exploration of oneself and the West Coast and the subculture, it is also an incomparable adventure through small town America. And
small town North America.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
even crazier. Three countries involved.
Exactly, small town North America, small town USA, right? Small town West Coast, small town California, however you want to say it. But absolutely, there are certain towns that's like this town has a really cool vibe. There are some famous trail towns that have been around forever. There's, like Julian in Southern California is one of the first towns you get to. They give hikers free pie at Mom's Pies. There was a town in Northern California that my friends and I went to that not a lot of people go to called Walker. It's a town called Walker, and it's off of, I forget the highway that runs through like Bishop and Lone Pine, 395, I think. So it's a town off 395 called Walker, and it's like tiny town. Like there's like a barbecue place, a couple hotels, a convenience store, and like an antique store. But like we had booked a hotel there ahead of time, and like we couldn't get a ride from the trail, and like the owner drove like an hour to come pick us up and like took us back to the hotel. And then like we were the only hikers in this town, so like everyone was like super stoked to see us and to feed us and to like chat with us and ask us about our adventures. And there's
at that point, how can I just a quick ask, how long are you like by the time you're in Northern California, how long has that taken you at that point? Is that like
I started
2 months in?
Yeah, I started in April. That was probably like early July.
Damn.
May, June, July. Yeah, California it takes a long time.
Dude. I'm not a smart man, but the fucking look at the map, California be tall.
Yeah, California is a long state. It's most of the hike is in California. But yeah, there's hostels in Lake Tahoe that, PCT hikers love. There's also these people called Trail Angels who live in these towns, and their whole like gig, their whole thing is to like help hikers, like let them stay at their place. And they have people in and out constantly. There's even, right outside of LA, right before you get to the aqueduct, out in the desert, there is a place called Hiker Town where these people have taken, it looks like old Western movie set type stuff. And they've like fenced it off and they rent out rooms, and it's like, it's called Hiker Town. And the whole gig of the thing is like letting hikers sleep there, driving them to the little store to go get food, renting them out rooms if they want rooms, letting them camp in the yard, grilling for them. And it's just like, you show up and you're like, what is this place? And there's like, 50 hikers hanging out. So there's a ton of it.
That sounds so fucking cool to me. That's like, and you accidentally answered another question I was going to have, but like, I want to get into it a little bit more. So there's a specific trail. It's not like, and then here you like have to walk on the 101 for 6 miles or whatever. Like, but like, so that's why when you were like a ride to these some of these towns are still a mile or so, or several miles off the fucking trail.
So there's a lot of hitchhiking. Hitchhiking is a huge part of it, is how you get in and out of town. So the Pacific Crest Trail is theoretically, for the most part, one trail that goes from Mexico to Canada. There's a couple little detours due to, down trees, or, maybe there's a fire and they reroute it. But essentially, it is a continuous footpath. When you go into town, sometimes you got to hitch like 45 minutes in one direction. Like, some towns are harder, and when I say hitchhiking, I mean like sticking your thumb out and waiting for someone to pick you up.
Not trying to find the Uber in Hiker Town, like on your phone, like using solar power charger to.
it's like thumbing it on the highway, proper hitchhiking, which is another fun, adventurous aspect of it.
Yeah, dude, that's some nuts. That's a nuts level of it. Like the idea of like, it's already a huge undertaking to just do it physically. And then there's like the planning part where you need stuff to complete it. And then there's this whole other element of like the skill set that's required to do it isn't purely just like hiking and nature knowledge. Like, you got to have a little bit of social skills to get yourself to and from these towns and to not upset the lady when you are covered in mud and want to get a slice of pie for free or whatever.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. You got to be nice. You got to be a nice human. And unfortunately, not all hikers are. Most of them are. It's a great community, but like, that's a, there's a whole social contract and interchange of, you know, I like to say love, like, you know, if you're getting a lot of love out there, so make sure to give it back. But yeah, it helps to be a good person.
I like that vibe. I found that amongst, you know, like the whole, like, hey, campsite, your campsite's next to mine. How's it, like, the friendliness of the hike, like that world. And that feels like we're talking about the purest distillation of it, of people who are on the Pacific. Now, I'm sure you run into people who are like getting on around San Diego and getting off in Central California, or like, right, people are doing legs of it, or, you know, it's not this thorough life-changing project for them. But did you like have any, you know, road warriors or mates for periods of time, for like a chunk of time, like either planned, like, oh, my buddies are going to meet me in NorCal and we're going to go all the way to Oregon together, or just like met this freak hitchhiking and we kind of we were on the same cycle for 3 months, or, you know, 3 weeks or whatever.
And so they say one of the, you know, I think one of the unanticipated or least expected challenges of the PCT is that social aspect, keeping up with people, or, you know, having friends for a period of time and then like, see you later. Everyone goes at their own pace, or like you said, some people are doing sections. So yeah, there are a lot of section hikers out there, and there are a lot of like short friendships that come and go, and it's kind of a difficult thing. I started with a group of, there's a girl from Utah, there were two Danish brothers and a guy from Arizona, and we started in the desert together, and we were like super tight, and we were like, oh, you're my trail family the rest of the way. And like, we did like stay in touch, and some of them stayed together, but like, I got super sick in a town, and like, they kind of hiked on without me.
I get it. Like, you go, that feels like a fucking movie. Go on without me. Like,
oh, it's so much like that. Yeah, absolutely. And then, but then I ended up meeting people that I would hike pretty much the rest of the time with. And so you never know what's going to happen. And there were people that came and went, for sure. Met these kids doing the John Muir Trail, which is a section of the Pacific Crest Trail. They were 17 and 19, like super cool kids. They were like our little sons that we adopted into our group, and we called them the Goonies, and then bonded with them, and then they were gone, you know?
The John Muir Trail, does that go through like Big Pine Lake or Lone? Because I feel like, or near there? Because I when I camped there recently,
pick it up in Lone Pine.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's part of the PCT. It goes through the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and it intersects the PCT for like 200-something miles. So you run into a lot of people coming south on the John Muir.
Oh, yeah, that's... No one really does the PCT north to south, right?
So it's called southbound hikers. It's much more rare. It's much more rare. People do it, and they're like animals. It's like a totally different physical endeavor, and you have a shorter window. And so some people do.
Is that just because of weather?
It's because of weather. Yeah. There was a lot of late snow in like Washington and Oregon last year. So people just were, you know, in the summertime, like trudging through snow on the northern part of the PCT in kind of the late spring. So yeah, you have a shorter window because of weather. So
it makes sense like to go northward.
Yeah.
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 Makes sense to go northward because it's so warm down there, and you could do that in the cold, start in the colder months. And as it warms up, you're not like in Washington State in their winter, you're there in their summer, which is a little more appealing of a hike than.
Yeah. Yeah. You got more
and you're
time.
Not in Mexico in the summer either. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an episode of High and Mighty without me talking about Athletic Greens. You know I take my AG1 every day by Athletic Greens because I can't take my pills on an empty stomach in the morning. It makes me a little nauseous. I wanted to get a first awesome step of the day. You've heard me talk about this countless times. I like it right first thing in the morning. And if for some reason I don't, which is usually when I'm hungover or something like that, I'll throw it in later on in the day. But I always have it before my coffee. I'm ready to go. It makes me feel like I've done something good for my body already, and I've only been up for like 45 seconds. So it really helps me get me going. And it's an easy way to get 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. So you got to get on that AG1. 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, fam. I really enjoy it. It's just a scoop in water once a day. It's not hard. And it's a great, easy first step in the morning towards a healthy. It like you take that first healthy step, the rest of your steps that day have a higher chance of being healthy. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. Are you tired of endless search for the perfect outfit? Well, Stitch Fix is here to help. Use their online platform and personal stylist. You'll have access to custom wardrobe that fits your style and budget. Let me make it even more specific to me. Have a weird body? Does shopping stress you out because not every place fits the way you want it to fit, etc., etc., etc.? Well, Stitch Fix is the easy way to get clothes that fit you without having to endlessly scroll through options. Answer a few questions, what you like to wear, your price range, your sizes, they'll find you your perfect fit. And do you know how good it feels to just look at stuff that is in your size? So frequently I'm on a website and be like, yo, this looks dope. Click on it. Sorry, we only have extra mediums, not double XLs for the big boy. And I'll tell you what, Stitch Fix goes from XS to 3XL. Damn, fam, that's for real. And they got over 1,000 brands and styles you know you'll love. Check them out. Even I have found clothes that work for me very well. Actually, I didn't find them. I got them from Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix found them for me. So right now, Stitch Fix is offering my listeners $20 off their first fix at stitchfix.com/mighty. That's stitchfix.com/mighty for $20 off today. stitchfix.com/mighty. Do you have your phone with you, and do you have service part of the time? Are you like at any point laying in your tent, like looking on Instagram, DMing friends
for sure,
from Dallas,
for
and being like,
sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think what I've noticed, I have a TikTok page where I post a lot about hiking, and I get to see people's reactions and their comments and their questions. And I think a lot of people in their mind, they picture this as like very rugged, very like you never see another human being, you're off the grid, and it's truthfully not like that. So right. Like, yeah, man, I was still as addicted to my phone out there as I am now. Like, you should see it when you get on trail and there's like a pocket of service at the top of a mountain. There's like seven or eight hikers just like doing all their internet shit.
Uploading all the photos, responding to all the family texts, doing whatever they got to do because they're about to lose service again. FaceTiming the girl real quick. Partner.
Like, yeah. I learned you can get HBO Max, Netflix, Disney Plus on your phone and download stuff to your phone in town and take it with you on trail. So I watched like the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
In the tent.
In the tent, man. Yeah. And yeah,
that's
totally
awesome.
Yeah,
oh, wait, you're selling me on this, too. Like, I don't have to completely give up content. And
no.
And if I pick up some cannabis, and I know you're sober, but if I pick up some cannabis once I get outside of Mexico into Southern California, it's all legal states the whole way. Like, I think I could survive hiking. I think I could do 5 months. I really want to try this. My life is not built in any way where I have time to do this, but you're inspiring me because I'm like thinking about how funny it would be to like also try to make my backpack as light as possible while I'm still like 80 pounds overweight. I'm like, oh, my pack has to be 36 pounds. It can't be 37. It's like, dude, you're 306 pounds. Like, drop 20 pounds so the hike's easier. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Dude, I can't encourage it enough. Like, if you can find some way to do it, I always say like it'll ruin you in the best way possible, but like you could go at your own pace. People start at all different levels of ability and like and paces. Also, you don't hike in Mexico, so you'll be legal like the in California. You start in California.
Like at the border. Yeah, like
yeah, you'll never be hurting for weed on trail. I mean, it is the biggest moving party in the country. It's just a giant moving party.
That's, right, you get to some area where everyone's got their tents set up, and you're like, and people are like, where. Sit around a fire together. What do you do around a fire? Yeah, I could only imagine.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, and cannabis is lighter than alcohol on the trail, so and less dehydrating. So, you know, pack light, pack sativa.
No, there you go. Love it. Yeah.
Dude, this is now what is something I'm going to ask you a couple of specific, like, what'd you go shoe wise? That's like my biggest panic. Like you have to have like the most reliable pair of footwear, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are like five types of shoes people use, and the number one are called ultras. They're trail runners. So a lot of people think like hiking boots, but the thing to do is wear trail runners. They're lighter.
I wear trail runners on my hikes. Yeah. I don't do anything like I'm not hiking in the snow ever really down here. So yeah it's all.
The whole time, I used a shoe called Ultra Lone Peak Sixes. They're trail runners. They're what are called zero drop. So
you don't say less. I love a zero drop. Yeah. You mean that the toe and heel are at the same. There's no lift
exactly.
or cushion. Oh, that's my wheelhouse, dude. That's exactly.
Yeah.
I wear exclusively like New Balance Minimus, and I hike in like the Nike Terra Kigers or whatever the fuck they're called that are like. They're not zero drop, but they're close. And this is exciting me. I am literally writing down all of this exact.
Dude, you're more ready to go than you realize. Like, you know, drive down to the border, start walking north and see what happens. Like, you figure it out as you go. Like, but yeah, the ultras are great. Put some insoles in them and they're the lightest on the market. And yeah, I still use them. Lone Peak Sixes is what they're called.
Oh, awesome. I will now. And then my next question is along the way, like the HBO Max thing was really intriguing. Was there anything that you were surprised was an issue, or you were surprised something you thought was going to be a major issue and then wasn't on the trail, or something that you didn't even like foresee that was like, I couldn't believe how annoying bugs were, or, you know, like my socks got wet at one point and it was a disaster. You said you got sick. Like that sounds fucking brutal.
Yeah, I could tell
that's
that
like
story.
The worst time to get sick. Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of like things I didn't anticipate, you said bugs, you've never seen mosquitoes. If you think you've seen mosquitoes, go to the Sierra Nevada mountains in the summertime. And it's just like, people were having like mental breakdowns, because of the mosquitoes, like they're just clouds of them. And you know, luckily I had my DEET on me, but I've never seen mosquitoes like that before.
That's horrifying. I've seen some like swarms on trails before, and they weren't mosquitoes. It's still just a swarm of bugs is terrifying.
Yeah.
It works. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say like, I'm not sure that, it's easy to mentally prepare for what hiking 8 to 9 to 10 to 11 to 12 hours a day it really truly feels like every day, like on your psyche, right? Because like you're hiking for the most part alone, and you're stuck with your like. I always like to say like I'm stuck with this asshole referring to me. Like that's who I'm spending the most time with. So I think like you can't really put into words how much of a relationship you're going to be forced to develop with yourself. And like how much shit you're going to be working through.
I can only, there's not enough podcasts and audiobooks in the world to get to not get you really fucking introspective after day 21 of being alone on the trail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're camping with people and you've got your friends, but that's another thing. I think, you know, everyone has a different experience. A lot of people see this as very solitary, but the reality is it's very social. And I think you have to be prepared to like meet and be attached to and lose people. And then also like coming back from it was so hard. I had no idea.
I didn't even think of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it must suck to like have to wait for the blue hand signal to cross the street or shit like that.
Yeah. That was the biggest of my problems. I was like, why can't I walk anywhere? No. Man, it's just, it's a combination of things, but you like say goodbye to people. Everyone goes their own way. You start to go back to quote unquote normal life. And your body's also just used to this like insane amount of exercise, endorphins, dopamine, novelty, nature.
Fresh air, nature.
Fresh air. And man, like the first week, I could barely get out of bed. Like, and it was surprising. I didn't expect it to be so palpable. So I wish I would have prepared a little bit better for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, I don't know what your scene was pre-sober days, but that's like frying your fucking dopamine receptor and serotonin receptors and then coming back and being like, cool, let me open up my laptop in my fucking apartment or wherever I live now. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a real hard, as we used to call it, the come down. It's a fucking brutal come down off that.
It was certainly a come down. Certainly a come down. Yeah.
Is this like the first of many physical adventures for you? Like, is this something where you're like, oh, I got bit by that bug. Now it's time to find a job, make some cash, and then take 6 months off and do the Incan Trail or do some other crazy ass fucking setup.
Thru-hiking ruined me. Like, it ruined me. Like, I want to do it all the time. Like, it's all I want to do. it's like my next goal is a thru-hike. So kind of
Sorry, just you, because that's the name of your of the show is Thru as well. What makes something thru-hiking? It's not like you don't get out where you started. More or less.
Yeah, a thru-hike, like the loose definition, I would say, is hiking a trail from end to end. So in kind of the U.S. thru-hiking world, it's the Pacific Crest Trail, the Continental Divide Trail, and the Appalachian Trail are the three big hikes. But any trail that you do, you know, if you did the John Muir Trail from where it starts to where it ends, that's a through hike of the John Muir Trail.
Right,
so you're doing it from mile zero of that trail to the last mile of it. On the Pacific Crest Trail, some people say like anything over 500 miles. Some people call that a long ass section hike or a lash. It could be like 500 miles. But
I love that there's like a passive aggressive term for like, yeah, you practically hiked it. A nice lash, buddy. Like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
And like, my thing is like, who cares? It's like, if you do it's a through, like, you're in the through hiking world, you're a through hiker. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just definitions and semantics. But that's what through hiking is. It's doing a trail from end to end.
Oh man! So do you have any other targets? And I don't mean if there are future seasons, don't spoil them. But like, if you is there any other like? Oh, everyone who's done the Pacific Crest is like after that you got to do that, because like the Appalachian one is a kind of famous one on the East Coast.
Yeah,
and I'm from the East Coast originally, so I didn't. But that one is a little less like weather friendly. Like that one, you run it. Yeah, like it's a little, it feels a little dicier for.
Man, it really depends. Yeah, it really depends on the year, because like this year, the Pacific Crest Trail is almost impossible because of the record snowfall in the mountains. So this year's hikers are having a real tough time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but I would love to do the Appalachian Trail and the Continental Divide Trail. And
wait,
finish.
Where's the Continental Divide Trail? I don't know.
So the Continental Divide is through the Rockies. So it starts at the border of New Mexico and Mexico, and it goes through Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, up to the border of Canada. So,
oh, damn. That's probably some elevation changes there.
It's the most rugged. It's only like 70% complete, so there's a lot of choose your own adventure, and it's
fuck that. I need to be on one that's like there's obvious like an arrow says this way for more through hiking.
Yeah, I would love to do those, but my sights right now are set on the Te Araroa in New Zealand. So it's a hike across from tip to tip on the island of New Zealand. A through hike. Yeah.
I've spent a little bit of time in and around Auckland, like a couple of trips down there, because my wife had to go there for work. So I got free room and board and tagged along. But that's a fucking beautiful country, and their nature is banana. You're like hiking through Jurassic Park down there.
Dude. Yeah.
It's fucking cool. And it's not a huge island. So what is, like, that sounds like a perfect, like,
Yeah.
It's shorter than California, right?
Maybe, I think it's like 1,800 miles total.
Oh, wow.
So the Pacific Crest Trail is 2,650. I think the TA is what they call it, is 1,800. And it takes the, you know, 4 or 5 months, something like that. And you do it, you start in September because there are
upside down seasons.
They're upside down seasons. Yeah. So that's, I would really love to do that. Yeah.
So, and you go from south to north on that one?
I'm not sure. I need to get into my research. I think you go from north to south, but I'm sure people do both.
All right.
But I don't know which one is the one that people do the most. I haven't started my research on it because I know I'll just like get impatient.
A little too all-encompassing for you. Yeah.
So, yeah. So September, like the ideal would be September of next year, I'd be doing that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude. Let me know. I got to follow along on social media. I got to keep. What do you do to chase that feeling that you got on the through when you don't have 5 free months? Is it a weekend of camping, a pack in, pack out, couple of nights somewhere, some sort of glamping nature situation? Like what do you do to try to? What's the word? Approximate that experience. I mean, I know there's nothing like hiking over 3,000 miles, but what do you do to like chase that sensation or to do warm up versions of or something in the meantime? Like, for a listener who's like, that sounds amazing. I just don't know when I'd be able to do that. Like what could be like a small, you know, like, I guess the answer is a sort of, you tell me what you do personally, but I would guess maybe, you know, a pack in, pack out hike where you like do Glacier National Park in 4 or 5, you know, some loop or something like that with your gear or some shit.
Man, for me, it's the endless pursuit of novelty. It's there's new experiences, and it's my inability to sit still, right? Like, I think the through hiking thing goes way deeper. It has to do with like my existential dread and my recovery and all that stuff. And it's like,
constantly... Sorry, just to interrupt you. You really hit you hit me in the heart bone when you said the pursuit of novelty.
Yeah.
I just love new experiences so much as well. Like I'm always chasing. That's how I end up knowing about all these different subcultures or being part of it. You know, like scuba diving, I feel like is a great parallel because it's very gear based as well.
Yeah.
So like it activates a lot of that in people, and like camping and scuba has those overlaps. I'm taking adult martial arts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I love chasing these weird things that make me happy, but are at first step a little nerve wracking. And I think like that's about my improv background or my like I missed that unknowing like what the fuck is about to happen vibe. So chasing that is such an appeal to me, like
absolutely.
So you're pursuing novelty. What does that mean for you in the interim in between through hikes or lashes?
I moved to Los Angeles.
Hey, welcome.
Right? Yeah, thanks. I moved to LA, right? I met a great girl here. I've got a new girlfriend. Like we move fast. We're, you know, this is her apartment that I moved into that we're staying in.
Man, you got to keep that dirtbag hiker lifestyle going.
Look, I pay my rent.
Good.
And you know, it's a combination of planning the next one really gets me motivated. She was agreeable to planning for the TA in 2024. So that like, honestly, that gives me life. Like, if I have another one to look forward to, I can put my head down and do my work, and that's my carrot to go. But
it feels less shitty, like working long hours. If you're like, come September, I'm taking 6 months to go across the globe and across a country. Yeah,
totally, like, totally. Yeah. And like you said, overnight backpacking trips. I went back on the PCT for an overnight with her a few weeks ago, and it was like surprisingly, like so good for me in a way that I didn't expect, but it was like really nice to be like, this is still here. I can still come and do a short part of this and take someone and show them where I camped last year and throw the backpack on and take it out. I did a walk from just outside of Los Angeles to Las Vegas. That was about 200 miles. I did that in March to promote the show at Podcast Movement. So like definitely got my distance hiking in there.
Whoa! Where do you camp or stop along that? Like, you can't hike 15,
right? No,
you
gotta... no, Yeah, well, I walked along 15, but like it was to promote the show that was coming out the day of Podcast Movement in Las Vegas.
Oh, so you had a little bit of support. It wasn't like
Had someone. I did the miles, but I had someone picking me up and taking me to and fro the route, and I would sleep at a hotel.
Okay, smart. Yeah.
But I did. Man, I walked along 15, like through the Mojave and like over those mountains down into Nevada.
Oh, awesome. So, yeah. What does Vegas look like on foot from the desert? Because that's a real highlight when you're driving that route, which to be honest, Cody, I got to give you credit because driving it sucks.
Yeah.
Walking it has got to be a fucking pain in the ass because driving it is stressful.
Man, walking it hurt. It was worse than the PCT. Like, it hurt so bad. I don't know why, but my knees were just like not feeling it. And it was just, it was grueling. But I will say, right before you get to the state line of Nevada and California, you go over those mountains and you descend down the Mojave into prim Nevada with Buffalo Bills and Whiskey Peaks. Yeah. And I stayed at Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills was base camp for like 4 nights, and it's like the most depressing place in the world. Just old casino on the state line. But just coming over the mountains and like the Mojave Desert's like out in front of you, was pretty cool. Like, it was,
I can imagine,
pretty breathtaking. Walking into Vegas, you it's just, it's kind of like you're going through the desert. You see those big colorful rocks that everyone stops at the side of the highway. Then you're on Las Vegas Boulevard, and it just changes from desert to suburbs to Las Vegas,
the strip.
The strip. And I was live streaming it on TikTok, and what was cool was, as I was getting into town, a bunch of people from Vegas were watching the live stream, and like 8 people like stopped me on the side of the highway. I was like, oh, I'm watching you right now. Like, let me say hi.
That's so,
like,
rad.
It was the coolest thing.
That's how it makes you feel like Rocky, you know, like running to Philadelphia and people join in. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. So that's what I do. Seeking new experiences.
Speaking of seeking new experiences, a couple years ago, I decided to try to do some half marathons, all because the one I wanted to do was the Vegas half, where you run the strip. They shut it down. It's the only time the strip is shut down, like all year long. Mm. And you get to run the strip at night. The race is at night, too. That's cool. So, it's not the same at all. But it was interesting to do something so physical in a city that's like so gluttonous to me. At least my relationship with Vegas is like consumption. It's alcohol, it's weed, it's food, and it's gambling. But to be like there jogging and getting like a massage and getting ready to go do a fucking half marathon was just such a weird vibe. But I hate running, and I hated it. And I did too, because I also did the Napa to Sonoma, because that was also another like, you call it novel experiences, which I really like. I've always referred to it, the shorthand with me and my wife is checking boxes. I'm like, I'm a box checker. It's like, that sounds like something I'd like to do. So at some point, I'm putting it on my list, and that box is going to get checked. I'm going to do blank. Like, and now this through hiking shit has got me like geared up, man. I'm like, all I need is a huge emotional fucked up thing to happen to me, and I can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I start rooting for like a divorce so I have a reason to hike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can manufacture some tragedy in your life. Man, I have experience FOMO is what I call it. Like, if I hear about something cool, it's like, man, how am I not ever gonna do that? Like, I want to know what that's like. So it's like, I want to do all of the shit.
And it's funny, something I want my listener, like, if you look back over the course of like the 400 something episodes of my podcast I've done, and you look at the titles, these are all things I'm kind of interested in, and they're all over the fucking place. Like backpacking or through hiking with you, talking about all that, and that's all I've been chasing my whole life. So to find someone that's also doing that shit. But I want my listeners to know that if any one of these things seems at all interesting to you but seems overwhelming, there's always like an intro version or a level one version of any, like, scuba diving scares you? Check out snorkeling. Scuba diving intrigues you? You got to get certified. So you got to take classes anyway. It's not like nothing is as daunting as it seems, because we're talking about the end result of like what Cody did is some fucking peak level amazing shit. Hike the Pacific Crest Trail. But well before that is numerous experiences that you could feel that vibe during without the 3,000 miles and half a year off. Like, I just want people to know, like, you can chase these experience, you can get experience FOMO. You're like, oh, I wish I was a martial arts master. Of course, that's impossible to like do starting at 41, unless, you know, you do it for 30 years. Maybe you end up being one of those cool old white bearded guys that is mad good at karate. But you can at least take classes and experience martial arts that way and meet people who are into it as well and like get into another subculture. Like, there's ways to do something you dream of doing that maybe if it seems too dark. I always wanted to row across the Atlantic. There is a much smaller versions of all these huge projects, like chop it up. And that's how I tackle any huge project, is like zoom it all the way back to just what's step one. And let me do step one. And then next time I do it, I'll do step one and two. And then keep adding and keep adding.
Absolutely. And you can always quit. It's okay to quit stuff.
Right.
Like you can try stuff and quit. Like that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I don't want to be labeled a quitter. But if you've never, if you never even do it, what is quote unquote better or worse? Like,
yeah,
I always wanted to do karate, but I never did it. I always wanted to do karate. I tried it and I quit. It wasn't for me. At least you know, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. At least you got that taste. You got that sniff. Before I get you out of here, Cody, I had one last question. Then we'll talk a little bit about plugs, where people can find through and all that jazz. Where near LA does the PCT hit? Like, where, like, if I wanted to just get on it as locally as possible for a little bit, what is that Angeles? Does it go through the Angeles? Is it?
Yeah, or? Yeah. There's actually a good amount of access points, so it crosses under I-10 right over by Palm Springs, like
cool.
Outside of LA, so like on the way to Palm Springs, it goes under I-10 right where the route to Mount San Jacinto is.
Oh well, wait, you live in LA now, so you gotta call it the 10 that way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my girlfriend gives me so much shit because apparently calling it I-10 is a Texas thing.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, I'm a New Yorker, so I was calling all these shits highways and parkways, and they were like, no, they're freeways because you don't have to pay. They're free to you. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. I'm doing my duty as a 10-year vet of the LA scene.
Right.
The 10. So you can come underneath I-10. That's where it cuts through there in the desert. That's fucking rad.
Got the 10. The PCT intersects the 10. and it goes north from there. So it goes up. It takes a western turn after that, I think. And so you can pick it up. It goes through like Big Bear Lake and Wrightwood. And then it crosses 15, I think, over Cajon Pass, which is where I started the walk to Vegas. So that was pretty accessible from LA. It goes west for a long time, out by, Acton. And, I think it's called Natchez is how you say it. Out in the desert, and you can pick it up there too. And it goes along the LA Aqueduct for 20 miles. So, there's a lot of different access points. I would say like the Acton section is probably the closest to drive through, but you can go out to Wrightwood and get it. You can go to Big Bear and get it. You can go out to I-10 and pick it up as well.
Oh, awesome. Get it right, Cody. Jesus Christ. Why don't you leave town for 5 months to find yourself come back?
Yeah. I swear I can say the in front of the freeways.
Well, I recently was in New Orleans and, the 10 is there. We got on like the 10 to get to the airport. And in my head, I was like, I should drive the FOMO hit me. Like, and I experienced, I was like, I should drive the 10 from Santa Monica all the way to New Orleans. And like, I just had that idea because I keep talking about it on the pod. And I think I'm doing that partially for like, someone to make me stick to it. I kind of want to plan a little mini tour that where I'm driving and camping out, like around, you know, leave LA, do like a little coastal tour where I'm like a through tour where I stop along the way, do a high and mighty at a venue here and slow. And then the next night I'm in a little further north. The next night I'm a little further north and car camp / you know, boondog or whatever and make my way. That's like my next. And then that seems like a way to finance it via Athletic Greens advertising.
Man, I did the West Coast road trip thing for like 2 months in 2021. It was kind of the precursor, it's kind of what set off the whole PCT thing. It's just as fun, like it's just as much of an experience to go up and down the West Coast and car camp and, you know, stay in whatever little towns. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
I had an awesome time doing that. And there's some really cool places You can see if you make it up all the way. I made it up all the way to Washington, went to the Olympic National Forest and like the Ho Rainforest up there. It's
unreal. Oh, yeah. That's fucking rad. Yeah. Man. Well, Cody, this was so rad for me to talk to you and inspirational in a very specific way. In that I'm like, how old can you think? Do you think you could be and still? Oh, that's a question. Run into any real old heads on the trail? Like,
Man, yeah. I think the most common age for hikers is like 20s and 60s.
The people like with the minimal amount of responsibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. But there were plenty of 60, 65 plus. Man, there is this guy from San Diego who I met early on in the trail, and he was a character. And I won't identify him by name or trail name, but man, he was just like, he was a lifelong burner, and he was just like handing out handfuls of shrooms, and he was just there to party. And he was a hoot.
Awesome.
And also just like really cool dude, like into a lot of the like meditation and stuff that I'm into. And so there are plenty of what you might call old heads out there.
They
party too, so don't underestimate them.
That's good news, because that might be when I get a chance to do it again. have you ever seen the documentary Valley Uprising? It's not at all this, but it's in the spirit, and I found it to be kind of inspiring. It's about like in the 70s, a group of like hippie dirtbag climbers that were hiding in Yosemite Park from park and like living in the park, like quote unquote illegally. And it's kind of like about the vibes of what that was like, running from the park rangers and like living like in this like scrap together community. And it kind of got me inspired for like more dirtbag-esque lifestyle stuff. So the second the PR team reached out to me about this, I was like, I'm going to listen to this podcast, and I also now have the ability to talk to this dude.
Love it. Love to hear it. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Me
I'm
too.
Proud to be a representative of dirtbags, I guess.
you don't have to. Wait. Emma, my engineer, pull that quote and just air that on every fucking...
Hardly. Hey,
Cody, what's this dirtbag thing I'm hearing about? No, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Man, this is a real pleasure. Now let's talk a little bit about Through, where people can get it, what people should be looking out for. Let's get into the marketing, the promo. Let's discuss.
Absolutely. So Through, wherever you get podcasts.
THRU.
THRU. Yep. Yeah. And the first episodes that are coming out right now, the first 28, somewhere around there, are these vignettes, snapshots. They're made by producers from audio I sent back. So it's like you get to read my trail diary. I don't even listen or like approve what goes in. And I sent a lot of like just, you know, losing my mind type of stuff back to them. And they put
a lot of spiraling on audio.
For sure. For sure. So it's like you get to like be a fly on the wall and like see what it's like inside of a person's head walking on trail. There's also recordings of people I hiked with. And then later on in the year, I'll release the series I'm producing, which is a narrative docu-series, narration, sound design, kind of from the 30,000 foot view of before, during, and after the hike.
So that's
recovery,
rad.
The hike, and afterwards, all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. So if you're take out your phone right now, whatever app you're listening to High and Mighty on, and add Through, subscribe, and listen. But at minimum, subscribe. That's
yes.
what I tell them.
I'm yes. like, absolutely.
Get to it eventually, but at least let's juice the metrics here a little bit. Let's fuck with the algo, baby. And anything else you want to plug, Cody? This was a real pleasure, man. Thank you.
Yeah, TikTok and Instagram. Cody's going through it. THRU. Those are my social channels. And yeah, I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh man, please. This was a blast. As for my plugs, as always. 101 Places to Party Before You Die, now on HBO Max. We're trying to get more episodes. Help us figure that out. And then also actionboys.biz for super long conversations about classic action movies. Not for everybody, but maybe it's for you. Bye, shitheads!
That was a HeadGum Podcast. in a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!